This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 13th, episode 1630, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. There's so many ways I want to say I love you.
I will always love you.
Well, that's right. We are celebrating Valentine's today. I know it's not till
you
tomorrow.
You can't play that song and not have me finish it. I have to sing the rest of it in my head right now.
Okay, go ahead. Well, so yeah, Jamie's not here tomorrow, so we have to celebrate Valentine's today. We're going to do that. Jennifer's going to tell us about how we're going to do that. We have a whole bunch of things planned for you today that are kind of lovish and Valentine's-ish. But did you know where the term heart on your sleeve came from?
When I think of things on my on sleeves, I think of the fact that my child just wipes his nose on his sleeve. Why?
You know how the wear your heart in your sleeves kind of a saying. Well, in the Middle Ages, young men and women drew names from a bowl to see who their Valentines would be, and they would wear those names on their sleeves for 1 week. And that's how it came to be. Wear your heart on your sleeve.
That's like, and then where did they put the boogers?
it's all about the same.
Just asking normal questions here. Jeez.
So those are that's my wisdom for the day, and that's all I've got. No. Should be. We have a lot of fun. Jennifer, tell us about it. We got to get right into it. We got guests. We got stuff.
We got stuff going on. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Valentine's Edition, Kristen McGowan is going to tell us about a facility that helps critters of all sorts go through import and export quarantine with love. And trick rider Ashley Pletcher is going to stop by and talk about how much she loves performing and teaching half on and half off the horse maneuvers. And to finish with a flourish, we'll play some All About the Heart trivia with a few listeners. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I figured with Ashley here today, you could learn to Roman ride, Jamie.
That's hilarious. That requires fitness.
You're pretty fit. I saw pictures we're going to talk about later in the show of you over the weekend doing fun stuff with your horse. You're pretty fit. You're a lot fitter than I am. So you can do it. Roman riding for you. Well, today, you know, my daily whinny goes out to everybody in radio from the past and to today and everybody in podcasting, because it is how do you say that? UNESCO? UNESCO? What, it's United Nations something or other. But anyway, it's World Radio Day. This is the 6th annual World Radio Day, February 13th every year. It honors everybody that's in radio and who is going into radio. And I kind of include us in that because, heck, radio, it says radio in our name, right? And this is this is the closest thing you can get to a radio show and podcasting. Matter of fact, Lee was here on Friday. When we got done with the show on Friday, he said, well, first, he'll never come back. But then the second thing he said is, that feels like just a regular radio show. You know, it doesn't even feel like a podcast. Well, I said, well, that's good because that's how we designed it. We wanted it to feel like a regular radio show. So I kind of think that's what we do. But I thought because it was World Radio Day, we have so many new listeners. And I had one of them comment the other day that said, I didn't know Jamie was in real radio. Well, yes, she was. So why did you get into radio in Atlanta in the first place?
I think it's hilarious that we have all dubbed it real radio now. This is not real radio.
Not real radio.
I got into radio because I was on that journey of the horse girl to become the next Olympian, and came to the point in my young life where I realized I couldn't afford it, nor did I really like some of the people that I was surrounded with. So I moved back to Atlanta and moved home and kind of was like, well, what do I do now? And my mom was like, what do you want to do? And I said, you know what? I've always wanted to work for a radio station. So I got a job as an intern.
Okay, but what was the motivation for that? That's kind of a weird thing, actually, for a young girl to say.
I know. I'd always been obsessed with it.
Had you listened to radio? Were you a big morning radio show listener? Yes. Or were you music or both or what?
Morning show radio ruled my world growing up. I listened to everybody. I knew who every DJ was. I knew who every traffic reporter was. I was just obsessed with Atlanta radio when I was growing up.
Huh.
It's the only other obsession besides horses and music, you know? So I was obsessed with the radio, and I just thought, I want to be a part of that. Actually, I said, I want to give stuff away on the radio, not even be on the radio. Like, I figured I'd be that guy that like answered the phone, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I,
like Jennifer
was, yeah, I was really lucky to get a job as an intern at Sports Talk 790 The Zone.
Okay, so I got to ask you, I'm going to stop you again. How did you get the job? Did you just walk in one day and say, I want to be an intern?
You know, I contacted every single radio station in the entire city, and they were like, oh, you want to be an intern? What school do you go to?
I don't go to school. I never finished college.
Oh, okay. Well,
Have
a great day. And, my brother listened to the sports talk show. This is terrible, but he's like, these guys are total pigs. They would probably hire you. I was like 23.
That's a brother. Is that your twin and brother that said that?
No, my older brother. So we sent a message and I'm like, hey, this is terrible. I'm like, I'm a 23-year-old single female and I'm interested in working in radio. I was like the worst ever. And I sent it to this pig of a guy, and he's like, come in for an interview. I went in there and they were like, okay, you're hired.
She's
and
hot. We'll hire her.
But like, my job wasn't like in radio. I washed the cars. They were like, here, take the, they had a Hummer. They're like, take the Hummer down to the, get it car washed. Like, that was my job. I was just this office, whatever, just anybody needed me, I would just go do errands, and it was unpaid, so it was great. So I started as an intern, and I also waited tables at a place right down the street from there, so I kind of kept my little life right there, and any opportunity I had to work, I just took it. And eventually I was so obsessed with traffic, and they had the worst traffic reporter. God, he was terrible. And I said to the manager, I'm like, y'all's traffic reporter sucks. And they're like, we really want a girl to do it. I was like, well, I'll do it. And then he goes, okay. And I was like, wait, no. Oh, never mind. I didn't even say that. I don't. And so they gave me a job as a traffic reporter. And I went to the traffic center, and I'm getting nervous thinking about it, because I was so terrified, and I had no business doing what I was doing. People go to school for this. And I've told you the story before. I did my first traffic report, and I didn't want to use my real name. So I told the kind of sports talk guys, I was like, whatever you call me at 412 and introduce me as is going to be my radio name. I'm like, I don't even care. Just figure it out. So they introduced me as Jamie Steele. So I was Jamie Steele at the
I didn't remember
station.
That's how you got your name. You never let somebody else pick your name. They could have come up with anything.
I didn't care. If I would have come up with it, they would have just made fun of me. I was like, easier to just hand it over to them. Like, if I would have come up with Jamie Steele, they'd have laughed at me. But they came up with that. And I'll never forget, my brother gives me a call at like 4:13 on my cell phone. And I just finished my first traffic report ever. And he's like, hey, Jamie, how are you? Good job. I was so scared. Of course, that's what your brother does. That was my twin brother. But it went on.
Yeah, but he was up listening at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, this is 4:12 in the afternoon.
Oh,
I only did afternoon drive. I wasn't good enough to do morning drive. So I only did the afternoon. And then I got hired by Star 94 to do their traffic. So I was doing traffic for about 6 or 7 different stations. And, like, I sat in a booth, like veal. You know, I was like, and then I had, like, little post-it notes on my computer as to what name I was on what station and what I was supposed to say for each station. Like, this is Triple Chopper Traffic was one of them. I'm Jamie Steele with Triple Chopper Traffic on 107.9. And then on the other side, it was like, I'm Jamie Massey. You're listening to Star 94 coming at you live from the chopper. I don't know. I always pretended I was.
Now, were you ever in the chopper?
Just for, like, special occasions.
Like, did you like
4th
it?
Of July. No.
No?
But I that's where I got to know Captain Herb Emery, and he was an amazing dude who just recently passed away. But I would go in the chopper with him on, like, July 4th and different really big traffic days, Black Friday. We would fly over and check mall parking lots. Like, it's really weird. And then I worked at Star 94, and then I worked at Q100, and then I worked at 99X, and some of these were overlapping. But, and then I got a job at 94.9 The Bull, and then I moved to Phoenix, and I worked at 102.5 KNIX. Jamie Jennings now.
So did you, I guess then, you really have. I mean, till the time I talked to you, you were in radio. You never really left it at all.
No, I think I left it about 6 months before I called you for a job, because when I moved here to KNIX, I had a 3-year contract at 94.9 The Bull, and I hated my life. I worked with some really non-fun people, and so after 94.9 The Bull, I was able to, because KNIX, I transferred out here because I was dating Chad, and we were, you know, serious, and I hated my life there, and I met a bunch of the KNIX people when I was at, the CMT Awards or CMA Awards in Nashville, and I met all the boss and everything. And so I worked at KNIX for a couple years here, just doing weekends and fill-in and stuff, and then my boss got fired. So I don't think anybody else knew I worked there, because I was, like, weekends and overnights. And then all of a sudden, he's like, Ray gets fired, and now I have no job. Nobody, they didn't call me to fill in anymore. So whatever, it was over.
And it was done. So what was, why? So obviously now you've been here almost 6 years, I guess. 7?
Yes.
Since 2010?
Yes.
So we're going on our 7th year.
Our 7th year, yeah.
Wow. So now, obviously you get to work in your pajamas now at home, so that helps. But, What's the difference between doing this and doing that, other than you can work in your pajamas at home?
You know, I worked in my pajamas there, too. And everybody always made fun of me because I would come into the office in pajamas. Yeah. And we would have, like, when a big celebrity would come in, they would always make fun of me because I got dressed and had makeup on. I'm like, hello, Will Smith is in the studio, or whoever it is. Like, it was always some big celebrity I always kind of knew. And so I'd come in and be dressed, and they would, oh my God, Jamie. I'm like, y'all take pictures when famous people are here. I look ridiculous in pajamas. So anyway, I would say that the biggest, you know, honestly, the biggest difference is my boss.
And this is sucks. Not... He's just terrible. He's an awful jerk.
I finally have a boss that's, like, supportive and encouraging. And
well, that's not, I wasn't setting you up for that answer. I wasn't expecting
that. I know you weren't. And I know you weren't expecting it. And you're going to get all uncomfortable because I'm paying you a compliment. But being in radio is so stressful. And so, I mean, every single word that you say is judged. And you, I can screw up and I can have a bad interview. I can have a bad day. And you're like, well, get them next time. As opposed to what would happen if I screwed up on a traffic report, if I stumbled over a word, the first job at Star 94, Dan, he would record it and play it back to me repeatedly. He's like, do you hear how I said that? And then play it, and then play it again, and then play it again. And that's the worst sick feeling. That's why I can't listen to myself now.
A lot of listeners wonder about that. And auditors, I think, wonder why you can't listen to yourself. And that's why. right there.
Yeah, that's why, because he played myself back to myself screwing up so bad that when I hear myself, it makes me unbelievably self-conscious. So anyway, I'm not digging ditches here. Like this is ridiculous, fun job, but it's really high stress. Really high stress, and you wake up really early, and you
never
sleep.
There's a reason that every radio person that has a morning show or a talk show complains about their program manager. They all complain about their program managers. It's universal.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. They're just not. I mean, you're expendable to them. You know, their job comes first, and so if the ratings aren't working, it's not his fault. It's your fault. And so, you know, you're never quite comfortable as a radio person. I mean, I just listed like 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 radio stations in 10 years. So, you know, anyway.
Well, you know, that's the big advantage of what we're doing, right? Because, you know, I consider us kind of online radio. We're podcasting, I guess. Now, technically, when we started, we were more online radio because nobody knew what podcasting was. But, you know, that's the advantage we've got is we make our own rules. You know, we violate, if I go to these conferences, like I'm going to one next week, PodFest, and I'll listen to all these speakers who talk about what you should and shouldn't do when you're podcasting. Do you realize we violate about most of them? You know,
of course we do.
You know, we violate about most of them. Mighty Blue has the hiking podcast for the AT, and they have a saying, all the hikers, the through hikers on the Appalachian Trail have a saying, and that's hike your own hike. And, you know, I believe podcast your own podcast. Do what you own it. You do it. You know, if listeners want to listen, they'll choose to listen or not.
You told me about somebody who does another podcast that has now started to model theirs after ours, because we do all our chit chat at the beginning, and you know the guests are an important part of our show, yet secondary, really. You know, they come later. So,
well, we had a comment. It was interesting. I'm sure you saw it in the auditor room that basically said Jamie needs her own show where it's just her and no guests and she could talk the whole time. And I said,
what?
You didn't see that in there? And
no.
In the auditor room, there was this post about how Jamie should have her own show. We just want to hear about her life and she should do her own show. And I said, yeah, she can do that. She can get up at 4:30 on the weekends and do that one.
Well, that's what we do on this show.
That's right. But, you know, I think it's interesting because we violate the one rule that all podcasters talk about that do interview shows is they say, get right to it, get to your interviews, don't chit chat like we do. And you know, I think the point is that this show was about us and we have guests. You know, we always started this show to be about us and you could choose to listen or not. A morning drive radio show is about the hosts. Matter of fact, most morning drive radio shows don't have any guests. You know, it's 4 hours of them doing whatever, and they may have a guest or two along the way, but mostly it's them, and that's what I always designed this for. It was to be a show about us and our lives and how our lives relate to most people that listen's lives, and that's what the show is about. And oh, by the way, we have guests, and oh, by the way, you might learn something, you know, so... you know, but we want you to be entertained and have a laugh. So, there's so much crap in the world today. We wanted it to be a place where you could come and have a chuckle, you know, and that's what it was. That's what it is. So, yeah, I'm sure there's people that have turned us off going, oh, they talk too much.
That's what you're listening to, a talk show. Exactly. I love it when people say they talk too much on the...
I think a lot of people assume podcasts are just get to the meat and they just want to learn something and they don't want that. And that's fine. And we have other shows, by the way, that are that way. And some of the episodes of Horses in the Morning are that way. You know, listen to Emily or Mary or all of those. That's strictly education, and, you know, in a fun way, but it's educational. Jessica Troop, and I'm going to throw her under the carpet here this morning. Sorry, Jessica. But I get to meet Jessica and her husband next week. They're coming to the premiere of the Messengers movie in Orlando next Friday night with us. And they're auditors. And I asked a question this morning. I asked, why do you listen to HRN and what do you get out of it? I think she described it the best. She said, I started listening for the educational stuff. There you go. And stayed for the entertainment. I actually started listening while I worked in a lab. It was always lonely and super quiet, and I stumbled on HRN searching for something to listen to about horses and pass the day. From then on, I was hooked. I don't work in a lab anymore, but I drive a lot, 50 miles a day or something, and it gives me something to laugh at or think about when I drive. Now, in the auditor room has become more than that. It's become like a family, and I think that is where podcasts different from radio, and you could argue with me here, is that podcasts allow us to have a more intimate relationship with our listeners than you probably had in radio. Am I wrong about that?
Well, this just made me think of the time where, you know, when you take a phone call at a real radio station, while this music is playing, you can answer the phones and it comes through the speakers and everybody can hear the phone call because we're all sitting in the same room doing whatever we're doing. And so, like, I remember one time Steve took a phone call and he's like, Star 94. And the lady was like, I just want to say that I just don't like that Jamie. She's terrible. And I'm sitting right there. like, so I was thinking, like, at least people can comfortably complain about me without me hearing it. Without, like, because you may get complaints and you really don't share them with me very often. So I just don't like her at all, because I was on a show where it was like an older skewed audience and they threw me in there at 24 to like be the fun one, and people did not like me very much. So it's that, I think that's what I like too, is like, we're kind of definitely more of a family. It's not as polarizing, because people that listen to us choose to listen to us.
Right.
They come and they seek us out, as opposed to they just hit the dial and hear 5 seconds of something and judge it immediately. You guys judge me all the time. I don't care, but
but you know what? They judge me too. It. I mean, they just judge all of us that do the show. And I'm sure when they listen to like Mary Kitzmiller, there are some people who disagree with her training methods, right? They listen to Emily, it's the same way, or whatever of the 28 hosts we have now, it's the same way. But I do think that's the advantage that podcasting has, is we do get to know our audience a little, and especially now with the auditors. I mean, that really has allowed us to the auditors are really a focus group that are terrific and have become a family, and there's nothing more that you can want when you're in business and to have friends that also will tell you the way it is, and if they don't like something too.
Yes.
Because that's how we learn. But anyway, thank you for that. I just thought it'd be fun for everybody to hear how Jamie started in radio. I hadn't heard some of those stories either. So,
oh,
you know why I did this?
I'm all bored to death.
I was thinking, I want to hear about your jumping show over the weekend. But I was just thinking, why did I want to? You know, heck, I started a radio network, right? I had never been in radio before in my life. Now, I had been an entertainer. Jennifer and I owned an acting company for 10 years, so we had been a stage performers and improvisational comedy people. But
what made you go, I'm going to do a podcast?
Well, that's a good question. I was thinking about it as you were answering. When I was in junior high school, my older brother, who was like 8 years older, worked at a radio station. It was country radio. And okay. He was the Sunday night at 6 o'clock guy who would play the music nobody wanted to hear. So he had that show that they don't know who else to put in at Sunday night at 6 because nobody wants to work. And in that day, they didn't have recorded programming like they do today. Everything was live, right? So, and the one night, he took me to work, and I was junior high school. So I'm at the radio station. It's he and I. There's nobody else because that's all that's in a radio station at Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And there was a major snowstorm, and what happened was the phones went off the hook with people calling in saying how much snow they were getting. So he kind of changed from music to talking himself, but he needs somebody to answer the phone. So here I am, this like 12-year-old, answering the phones. He gave me like a 2-minute lesson on how to answer phones and transfer people over, and I lost about half of them. And I just remember that was so cool, being on the radio station with him that night. And that was the only time I'd ever been at a radio station. But I think it kind of goes back to that. Plus, I wanted to be an entertainer. And it was him that talked me into doing a podcast. It was my older brother who was in radio who said, you should do this podcast thing, back before podcasting was a thing. And it was like, I just saw it as a way that I could combine the entertainment thing. Plus, there was nothing entertaining in the horse world. All of it was dry sort of educational videos, and there wasn't really much radio. You know, just kind of dry educational round pen stuff. And I just thought, we're a fun group. Why aren't we celebrating the fun we have with horses? And that's how it started. And then you came along because I wanted to do a morning drive radio show, but I knew it wasn't good enough to ever get in a radio station, nor did I have the energy or effort to try. So I just like, well, I'll do my own. And that's how you popped into the picture. And that's how Horses in the Morning started, is because I wanted to have a morning drive radio show.
And here we are.
And here we are. 1,500 episodes later.
I think it's my turn for a Daily Winnie at 7:26.
Oh, sorry. I forgot you hadn't even done yours yet.
Ah, I love that. So I just wanted to real quick send a Daily Winnie to the random stranger who came up to me at the jumper show. Totally random. Walks up to me and just said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that here's the." She just came up to me and she said, "Thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want you to know that your horse is a wonderful ambassador for his breed, and you're doing a great job. Thanks." And like walked off. And I thanked her for thanking me. And we talked about him for a second, but like for the most part, random stranger walks up to me and tells me that my Mustang is a great ambassador. It was like the coolest compliment that you could possibly receive.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
That's
I
so
know.
Neat. Is it Zeus?
Well, that was the whole point. Yeah. So I took Zeus to a jumper show and we ended up just doing the 2-6 division. It was kind of hard to rate him to the fences. And so I just went back down, didn't do the 2-9 yet, trying to be a good mama. And so we did that and he was fantastic. And, you know, you're standing in the warm up area with all these huge, fancy warm bloods. And here's my little Mustang. And he got it second place out of 15 in jumpers.
Wow.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then he took sixth place in the second one because I was like, you've got to slow down. We are not on a race here. It was the speed round. And I'm like, no speeding. But he still got sixth out of like 15. So he did really great. I was not that girl at all, you know, because usually I'm the one with the crazy horse.
I'm so disappointed you're not representing the show anymore.
This is the show we were
Don't
at
make it a habit of that, all right?
I know. This is the show. Last time we were here, Zeus grabbed the clipboard out of the lady's hand and pinched it open and papers flew everywhere. And then he ended up breaking the clipboard. It was awful. So we didn't do that at all. He was trying to check out the ribbon box. And I was like, no! I knew these people's ribbons dirty. But he was great. He went out and jumped everything. He was fantastic. And I had some students go.
What height were you at?
Just 2-6.
Well, that's good. That's just 2-6. That's pretty good.
Well, my dear sweet Abby went out there with Joey, and Joey is the horse that I got from the from the sheriff's department many years ago for $50. And he went out and did the jumpers, and he won the speed class at 3'3".
Wow.
Yeah. So no, Joey and Abby won. Remember? At the horse show. Lucas had fun at the horse show. He didn't watch a horse at all in the playground. That's me right
there. There's a playground at the horse show grounds?
Right? Isn't that amazing?
Dang.
So what I did first, by the way, it's a beautiful picture you had taken there. But what I did first was took a look at the picture closely to see if your white breeches were dirty. And I didn't see them dirty, so I assumed it was a good day.
I was in my white breeches and my equestrian show shirt and my equestrian coat. And I love those items. And then you think, wait, you were at a jumper show. And I was the only one in their white breeches and show coat. I was the only one with a coat on at all. And it was a beautiful day. It wasn't too terribly hot. And people were looking at me like, you know, like weirdo. You don't like you can wear at a jumper show. You can just wear a collared shirt.
Right. And any old
you don't have to
do you have to wear tailored sportsman anymore or can you wear any old thing?
Just wear any old thing, really. But the problem is in every photograph, I look like a homeless person jumping my horse. Like I've got a ratty shirt on. I got a smudge because I don't care because it doesn't matter what you look like. So this time I was like, damn it, I'm going to have a pretty picture. I'm going to look like a professional. I'm going to jump some fences and look good. And I did. I was made fun of. I did see that group of snarky little jumpers sitting over there going, probably going, oh my God, that girl is on a Mustang and she's wearing her coat. How dare her? Like, doesn't she know? First of all, she's supposed to have a fancy warm blood. And second of all, why would you wear a coat out here? You're supposed to be. Anyway, I could hear it all going on in their head. But my little Mustang spanked both of them, by the way. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Still have that competitive edge. Got that spirit.
Yeah, I don't know when the tailored sportsman break on the jumping world ended. I think it was when alternatives started to come out, right?
There was nothing else. Yeah. When I was growing up, there was like one type of breech, and it was ridiculous.
And they were $200. And
there was the tailored sportsman, and then there was like the $30 ones.
Yep.
And I had $30 ones forever. I never have owned a pair of tailored sportsmans, and I think I never would now, just out of spite, because I couldn't afford one back then.
And we can write them off as a potential sponsor in the future. We'll just add them to the list.
Me, I'll totally wear them. But I couldn't afford them back then. Probably still can't afford them now.
Before we lose any more potential sponsors, winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, the ARC is the only full-service animal facility in the U.S. open 24 hours a day. The ARC balances biosecurity requirements with care and compassion that animals on the road required, which is no easy task. But that's the mission of the new facility, which recently opened at the JFK Airport. Today, we have Kristen McGowan with us, and she is Director of Administration for the ARC. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. I wanted to have you on because it's such a fascinating place, and it's so cool, and I've seen pictures, and it looks so high-tech. But before we talk about the ARC, one of the things that always bugs me about places like this is they tend to hire administrators that know nothing about animals. And it just seems that they're bureaucrats, right? And you've seen it, right? So they hire these non-animal people to run an animal facility, and it just never works out well. But you are an animal person and a horse girl, right?
Yes, yes, all of us here. The director of animal care, Sue Bruins, is very much a horsewoman. All of our staff are trained horse handlers. And in our pet oasis facility, the small dog and cat facility, all of their employees are all dog and cat trained handlers as well.
And you were a college rider, if I read right.
Yes, yes, yes. And I hate to say, yes, we competed.
That's cool. And then went on, you've been doing horses for a long time. You had a career at the North Shore Equestrian Center. So I think we've established that you know what you're talking about. But this is a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Yes, it is very exciting, and I'm really excited to be a part of something that is, you know, the first of its kind, and I think is very important to the animals traveling. So, yeah, it's great.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, the ARC just opened when?
We opened our export and our ARC Pet Oasis in early January.
So it's brand new. And what does the ARC do? Let's kind of give everybody an overview of what your mission is.
So there's a couple different portions of the ARC. So I'll give you a quick breakdown before I go into export. So we have our equine export is for horses departing the United States, traveling to other countries. And then our import is our quarantine, opening in the next upcoming month for horses arriving into the United States. In addition to the horse import and export facilities, we have our aviary, the ARC Pet Oasis, and our sub-tenants opening in the near future, Paradise for Paws and Red Bank Veterinary Hospital.
Oh, wow. So now if
So we got a lot going on.
Yeah. So, okay. So describe what happens if I'm taking my horse to Europe to show or whatever. Do I come through? Do I have to come through you? How's that all work?
So in our export, it's a minimum of a 2-hour rest period. So we see horses usually stay in our facility for 12 plus hours, including overnight stays. So they arrive to the facility. There we have 23 12 by 12 nice roomy stalls, constant access to fresh water. We have high-end Timothy hay for the horses throughout their stay. So it's nice. They get to rest in a stress-free environment because, as you know, travel is stressful to us. It can be stressful to the animals as well. So we want to make sure we provide that nice, relaxing, comforting, rest period for these horses traveling.
So if they're coming to the United States, are they quarantined for a period of time then?
When they're coming into the United States, yes, there is a 3-day quarantine.
Okay. So during that 3 days, are there grooms or handlers or owners allowed to see them, or is it strictly you guys taking care of them at that point?
It is strictly biosecure, yeah. So it is a biosecure facility. Our quarantine has 48 separate biosecure stalls. So there is a separate stall for each horse that has a completely separate airflow, watering, filtration. Everything is separate to maintain the biosecurity of these horses.
I read.
We have to gear up. Yep, go ahead.
I was going to ask you that because I read you guys have to, if you go into one stall, you have to gear up and then take it all off and completely change. Or do you have to take showers in between each? What?
You have to shower in and out of the facility in quarantine. So our employees will shower in. They will gear scrub. We wear medical scrubs. And then in each stall, there's separate equipment for each horse. So when you walk in, we have, it's a 12x12 stall. And then there's a separate anteroom leading into that stall. So an employee walks into the anteroom, you put on it's a biosecure Tyvek coverall. You gear up in your booties, your Tyvek coverall, and then you can go in and work with that horse. And the same thing, when you leave that stall, we have to take all of that gear off, and everything stays with that horse for the 3-day stay.
Okay, Kristen, you guys are the cleanest horse girls in the country.
We are. We really think it's important, for the welfare and the biosecurity. Yeah, yeah.
Not just the cleanest, the only clean ones.
The only clean horse girls in the country. That's right. We know they shower twice a day. Their boots aren't getting dirty. So you guys walk into the grocery store. I live in Ocala.
It's very different. It's very different from what I am used to because I am very much a barn girl, mucking stalls. So yeah, it's great though. I think it's great for the horses.
Well, sure. I mean, it's absolutely terrific. Now, you also have to, you're basically, they're in quarantine to see if they're sick, right? Or if they're carrying anything or we don't want to bring anything into the country that shouldn't be here.
Correct. Yes. So they get their blood pulled as soon as they arrive into the facility, and that is tested by the USDA in Ames, Iowa. And then once they are clear, that blood work is cleared, then they are allowed to leave the facility. It's a 3-day stay.
How many times? Okay, you don't have to give, obviously, examples, but is it often that you find horses coming in that actually have something wrong?
Well, our quarantine facility is not yet open, so I can't really answer that question. We have our export is open, so we are doing the horses that are departing the United States right now.
Well, what do you do with them? What happens with them then?
So they come in for, like I said, that 2-hour rest period. We just really provide the, relaxing environment, the high-end hay, constant access to fresh water, make sure they're comfortable before their flight. Then a USDA veterinarian will come in and examine that horse and make sure they're fit to travel and make sure all the travel documents are in order. And then they go on their way from there.
And how many horses, when you guys are fully up and running, how many horses will you process then in any given period of time?
We have 23 expert stalls and 48 quarantine stalls. So when the whole facility is up and running, yeah, we're going to have a lot of horses in here.
Whoa! How many employees?
We will see. Right now, we have myself and our director of animal care. We also have two of our veterinarians on staff, and then our trained horse handlers. So we are, in the process of starting out and looking to grow from here.
That's so cool. I mean, what a neat job. It's funny because we all teenagers are all, teenage girls especially, are always looking for jobs. When you ask them what they want to do, they say, I want to work with horses. It's that general. I just want to do anything with horses as my job. You got that job.
It is a dream job. It is a dream job for me, yes.
So now you also have a small animal part of it, right?
Correct, yeah.
Tell us about that. What's that?
Yeah, yeah. I will. So, we have our small animal, the Ark Pet Oasis. Majority dogs and cats, but we can have anywhere for bunnies, small animals. So the same thing, instead of sitting in like a cargo when your animal travels in cargo or excess baggage, before us, there's no really trained animal handlers at the airport. So you think of, you go to a cargo facility, there's no, one that really is trained to handle dogs and cats. So instead of sitting on, a warehouse floor in their crate with no one to look after them, animals now can come to the Pet Oasis, be let out of their crate into our spacious kennels, locked in our fenced-in relief area so they can be taken out of their crates, relieved, given water, food, toys, and then, of course, all the love and attention from us and our staff.
That's cool.
Wow. That's awesome.
Neat. That is really neat. And you also have a boarding thing, right? Can you board there, too?
That is opening in the near future. That is our Paradise for Paws. Yeah, it's one of our subtenants. They have a boarding facility. So, yes, if you're going on vacation, you can have your animal board at that facility as well.
I saw pictures of this place, Jamie. It's huge. It's,
wow.
It is huge. When they say the Ark, they mean it. It is really big. Well, this is very cool. Hard to believe that something like this would find the funding first to be built in today's day and age. And then to really, it says a lot for how we care about the horses coming in and out of the country. And I think there'll be more of these popping up. Now, as you guys prove it successful, no pressure there, Kristen, but as you guys prove it, the model successful, there'll be more of these popping up, and it's only good for the horses.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, we want to provide the highest level of care and, welfare being our number one priority. So, yeah, hopefully it, we spread and we can grow and, this continues to happen all across the United States.
Before we let you go, when will the incoming be open?
In the next coming month, probably quarter two.
Okay.
So we're looking around, April.
And I know I'm going to get this question from listeners. Are you looking for help now? Is there a help wanted place they can go, or are you booked up?
You can visit the website for employment opportunities. It is arkjfk.com.
ARKJFK.com, right?
.com, correct, yes.
Well, thank you, Kristen. Good luck with it, and we'll have you back when everything's open,
thank
and
you.
we'll find out how it's going.
Great. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you guys.
All right. Thanks, Kristen. Isn't that cool? Have you seen pictures of this place, Jamie?
No, I haven't.
Oh, go look it up. Just Google it and look at Google Images. It is just, this is everybody's dream sterile barn, without a speck anywhere. And you heard about their protocols. Imagine having to completely suit up and unsuit after every horse.
I googled the Ark, and it comes up with something totally different.
No, that's the religious one in Kentucky. You have to look Ark JFK. Just search for ARK JFK and you'll bring it up. But yeah, I mean, imagine the biosecurity there about the different, outfits you have to wear, biosecurity suits for each horse. And that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Do they have the pool? No.
No.
Okay, here we go. Oh my gosh. This is
it's huge warehouse. I mean, huge. But it's at JFK, and a lot of the horses that come into the country go through JFK anyway. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of a neat job, huh? What she's got, job she's got there. But then you're responsible also for race horses. You're responsible for show horses, average horses, breeding horses, all kinds of horses coming into the country. And if what she said is true and they're full, they got 70 horses in that building at any given time. So it's quite a feat. I'm fascinated by this place. I don't know why. I know we talked about it when it was a news story when it was first talked about being opened, but I'm glad to see that it's getting underway.
That's a lot of showers if they have 70 horses.
Yes, that is.
Goodness gracious.
Well, our next guest, we're going to go right to our next guest. I've talked to her before. Her name is Ashley Pletcher. She's the owner and the trainer at Keystone Equine Entertainment and Training. And she is a trick rider and has done all kinds of different things, fairs, rodeos, events. And Ashley's sole purpose of being on the show today is to convince Jamie to Roman ride. Hi, Ashley.
Oh, geez.
Are you there, Ashley?
Yeah, how are you guys?
Good. I'm terrific. How are you?
Oh, doing good.
Good. So, Ashley, how long have you been doing the trick riding thing?
I've been doing the trick riding for about 6 years.
And you've done all kinds of things, right? Fairs, rodeos, been part of groups.
Yeah, fairs, rodeos, weddings, private events, and we're currently at a circus right now.
Oh, are you? I didn't know that.
Yes. I ride with a group called the Alanian Riders as well. Our troop leader's name is Lev. He's from Russia. And we do the Cossack riding. We have an act we do at the circuses, and we're performing in Circus Sarasota right now in Florida.
So
question.
What, yeah,
hold
what,
on.
Yeah.
What on earth would you do at a wedding?
That's a good question.
It was like a themed wedding that was like a Wild West theme. And while they ate dinner, they had us trick ride and Roman ride. They put the tables in an arena and had a track going down the center of it and had us do entertainment while they ate dinner.
That's a fun wedding.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's a fun wedding. Jeez. So now what is Cossack riding?
Cossack riding is like the original form of trick riding. It originated from Russia, like the military tactics and in their circuses. And it's how it was the first style of trick riding before like the American trick riding started.
And why did you want to do this? And how do you learn to do it?
Just trick riding in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Trick riding in general.
Well, I rode horses all my life, and I did jumping and endurance riding and Western, everything, and just wanted something fun. And I met a trainer named Tommy Turvey that took me in and taught me the Roman riding, trick riding. He taught me everything and helped me get on my feet with
you're
it. And I took
the,
everything
the,
I could
the master.
Learn.
Yeah, you're trained by the best
He's
in the country.
Yes.
And
I took everything he taught me and ran with it.
I'd say. And now, what of all the things you do, what's the most difficult and dangerous?
Well, that's a really hard question because they're so different. The okay. Roman riding, you have two horses, you stand on top of them. I've performed with four horses where you stand on two and drive two more out front. The trick riding, you're doing the maneuvers like jumping off the side, doing handstands on the horse in different positions on the horse upside down. I mean, they each have their own factors of danger, but we take a lot of safety precautions in what to do if something goes wrong, and we take a lot of time with the horses to do the proper training and make sure we have, you know, the right mindset of a horse and, you know, to have all the proper equipment as well, too.
I just had an interesting question from one of our listeners. And basically the question is, when you're Roman riding, she says, I'd be in their mouth all the time. I'd be yanking and pulling and trying not to fall off, and I'd just be yanking their mouth out. So I guess that, again...
Yeah, that's a great question. We barely touch their mouths. Their mouths are just to turn left, right, stop, and back. It's all in balance. You know, the position we stand in, we have special pads on their back we stand on. No, we're not tied to them or stuck to them. They just help us with the grip. But we're never in their mouths, or else they wouldn't go. And we'd be constantly pulling back. They want to stay together.
Now, how many... Okay, so be honest. I assume that learning to Roman ride involves getting your pants dirty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've hit the ground a lot. But it was all in... Some of it was in training on how to properly fall so we would intentionally fall off the horses. And then when stuff goes...
Jamie, you need that training. We need to get you that training.
Plan everything.
We need to get Jamie the training about how to properly fall off. So,
but see, I find that no matter what, it always hurts. So just do everything you can not to fall.
Is that true, Ashley? Is that the best way to do it?
Oh, it's just to not fall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just don't fall.
Oh, absolutely. That's the goal every time.
So now you're doing, is there anything in this world of trick riding and circus riding that you haven't done that you want to do?
I haven't done a lot of the bareback riding, like the vaulting. When the horse is on a line or it goes in a circle and they have a special pad and handles on it. Mm-hmm. I've done Veronica, who is the other girl rider in our troop we're in now. She does a lot of that. And she's taught me a little bit. But other than that, I haven't done much of that discipline at all.
And she's there with but you, isn't she? Didn't you say Veronica was there with you?
Yeah, she's sitting right beside
me. Can we say hi to her?
We can't hear. I'll pass her the phone.
Okay. Thanks, Ashley.
Hello.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So now I'm fascinated about how you got into trick riding. Why did you decide to climb on and over and under horses?
I actually started as just a rider. I was doing English, Western, eventing, the equestrian teams in college and all that good stuff. And then after college, I immediately got a job working at a small dinner show. So a little arena, 300-seat theater, and they would do dressage drills, liberty, and that's where I saw trick riding. And I figured, well, if they could do it, I could do it.
Well, you know,
I've always been athletic, so it was kind of cool to find something that I could use my athletic skills and still all of my equestrian skills at the same time.
You know, I've seen some
double bonus.
Right, exactly. And I've seen we were talking about it earlier in the show. We're entertainers. That's what we do. That's what we like to do. We like to entertain and have fun. And I own an acting company where we did entertainment. And the really good trick riders, I've seen some that are technically really good. You know, they can stay on. They do it really well to perfection even, but they're not entertainers. And there is a difference, isn't there?
Oh, yes, definitely. And we're going out in a very prestigious circus. So the tricks, the horse, I got it. No problem. Sometimes my biggest battle is just my styling and my power and really to entertain the crowd. But once you get out there and you feel the energy, then you know. And so, you know, style and smile, you go out there and you have to sell it. But people love it. It's a very fun, high energy, intensity, fast act.
You know, style and smile.
Yeah, so I like that style and smile. Ashley trained with Tommy Turvey, who is probably the best at the entertainment side, right? He has the timing and the comedy and the fun, and he just has it down. And I think that's what made his act so popular. And I think that again, you can technically be really good, but you have to have that showmanship, and you have to enjoy and like being on stage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to be a ham. You got to be the center of the attention.
And you have to want to be, right? I mean, that's what makes it work, is you have to want to be the center of attention.
Exactly.
So I'll ask you the same question I asked Ashley. What's one thing that you haven't done that you really want to do?
As far as tricks go?
Yeah. As far as trick riding and circus or whatever.
Well, me personally, I fell in love with vaulting, which is just one of the tricks that we do in Cossack riding. And that's where you hit the ground with your feet, come back up onto the horse. And there's so many different styles. You can hit the ground, go land on your side, land on your back, don't even land on the horse, come all the way around to the neck. And so it's generally not something that women riders do. So because of that, it just makes me want to do it even more. When we have the off time and we can practice, I really enjoy trying to get some like very technical vaults in there. And I enjoy doing I love my girl tricks, but I do like doing some male tricks.
Jamie does those, but not intentionally.
We get that reaction a lot. They're like, oh, I did that, but not, I didn't get back up.
And it is incredible to watch. Well, you guys are terrific now. Let me just get Ashley back on real quick, and I want to talk to her real quick about the Keystone Equine Entertainment and Training.
Sure. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thank you.
Glenn, I can hang on the neck with the bust of them.
Hello.
Intentionally or not. Hey, Ashley, I just wanted to get a plug in. Are you still doing clinics and stuff or not?
Oh, absolutely. I actually moved. I'm no longer in Pennsylvania. I just moved to a riding academy in North Carolina in December. I was doing training clinics there a couple times a year, and they offered me to come stay and live there with them and be their trick riding and Roman riding instructor. And I also run a drill team for them too. But we still travel. I still travel all over North America. We do training clinics on trick riding, Roman riding, and trick training.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, we appreciate you being on today. Have fun and be safe out there, Ashley.
Oh, thank you guys.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
And Jennifer, I just realized this is, we're going to have to talk about this on the air. If you're there, Jennifer, and can hear me, I just realized that we have call-in studios set up with not enough lines to do our trivia. So we're going to have to drop call-in studio and everybody that's waiting on here and start over. Did you hear that, Jennifer? We can't hear you if you do.
That sounds super complicated.
Well, it's not, actually. It's just going to take a minute to get accomplished. Are you there, Jennifer?
I'm here, but they called in, so I need to write down everybody's phone numbers.
Well, no, they'll call back. They're hearing me right now, and I'm getting complaints that the others can't get in because I screwed up when I set up the room today. So I'm going to drop the room. You'll have to call back as the host and everything. And in the meantime, Jamie and I will continue chatting over here. And everybody that has called in will have to call back in about 2 minutes.
That's okay, because I have a moment that I need to look at the ads that your wife is sending me during the show for a horse that we're looking for. And I'll just throw it out there. I have a student that is looking for a unicorn. That's right, a unicorn.
A unicorn, and a real unicorn.
One of those, like, 10 to 15-year-old, super well-trained, show miles, nice, kind of just a really calm horse that she can go and jump and do eventing and dressage and kind of a little bit of everything. And she wants it to be an Arabian or a half Arabian registered so she can do the Scottsdale Arabian Horse Show, which starts apparently this week or next week, I think. It's a big deal here in Phoenix. I guess Carly would be more knowledgeable about that. But so anyway, Jennifer is like looking at ads right now, because over the weekend, my student's mother sent me a great, because she wants, of course, a white Arabian, sent me this link to this white Arabian. And I mean, gosh, it looks perfect. And she's like, well, I mean, it's so far away, I can't really fly to Florida. And it turns out it's like 45 minutes from you guys. So I called Jennifer. I texted Jennifer. I was like, hey, can you go look at a horse for me? Yeah. What? Horse shopping? Yay! So Jennifer has now taken on horse hunting for me and just sent me a nice little sweet 14.3 hand Arabian cross. So I was just starting to look at all those. So if you guys know of any really well-trained, super broke, kind of great, she's 10 years old, for a little girl, horses, Arabian crosses, yes or no, under $5,000. That's the other problem. Is that I'm interested. That's why the Arabians are good, because they tend to be a little bit, either Arabians are either $3,000 at the max, or then they go up to $40,000 to $50,000. So I think it depends on the breeding. So anyway, if you guys know of any, or you need anything, you call me. I'm your guy. So Glenn, did you get it all sorted out? Nope, he's still working on it. Oh, well, I'm just going to sit here and talk by myself. I'm also looking, while we're out here, for breeches for Lucas. He needs little breeches, because now
what size is that? About a one child's?
Well, I emailed, I think it was Horse Lovers, and I just said, my kid is a 5T. What does he need? What size does that qualify for? And they actually, let me go to my email here because I got a response back from them, and it was like,
hey, Jamie, you're gonna hear us calling Cullen's studio here.
Thank
very
you for calling
sorry about this.
In the morning.
That's
you
okay.
We're getting set up again.
While waiting.
They ended up writing me back saying, on the air with we're going to have to call the manufacturer. We'll get back with you.
Because I had no idea what size you're going to
have no idea what 5T should be. But he got his little paddock boots, and he slept in them the other night. He was so excited because now he has shoes like everybody else. And now he wants stretchy pants, which I haven't told Chad that I'm buying for him yet. And Chad's going to be like, oh, my God, my kid can't wear breeches. So we'll see how that goes.
If you're playing Valentine's trivia with us next, you can call. If you haven't called yet, you can call in now. Jennifer's getting everybody lined up. Sorry about that. That was my mistake. I didn't open up enough lines this morning. We don't usually need like 10 lines open. So I didn't do that this morning. That was my fault. Hey, did you get a chance to listen to the new Around the Track show on the Horse Radio Network brought to you by the Pollock Report?
Oh, my God. I haven't. My dad's in town and I've had Lucas all weekend and Chad's been working. So, no, I haven't. Had a minute to listen to it. Is it so awesome?
It's awesome. And actually, we have a lot of our listeners and auditors that are commenting on it and just thought it was well produced. It is well produced, by the way. It makes our show look silly, to be honest. It's very well produced. And of course, he had a terrific first guest. So there's that. But it's put out by the Pollock Report. And we just got approved with iTunes, which means it'll show up in your podcast players here in the next day or two. The search will show up. It takes a couple days to migrate through all the podcast players. And it's on our website at horseradionetwork.com. It'll be on the Pollock Report here too soon. But it's a terrific show. They're going to be coming out twice a month. And he's basically just going to have conversations one-on-one. Scott is the editor-in-chief over there at the Pollock Report, and he's doing the shows. He's an old NPR guy, actually, and radio guy, like yourself. You were an NPR. You were the opposite of NPR, actually.
That's opposite of NPR. Yeah.
Whatever NPR was, NPR. That's what Jamie was. So he's done a great job with this. He's actually produced and edited himself, and it was terrific. So we're really excited to have the Pollock Report as part of the Horse Radio Network and the newest show on the Horse Radio Network that makes show number 13. And for those of you that did ask, we have our app developer working on it, and by the end of this week, it should be on our app as well. So we're working on getting it all sorted out and all the new shows at the end of this week. Then all the new shows that have come out so far this year should be on the app.
So where should I go to listen to the Pollock Report? When just Horses in the Morning? Or
go to horseradionetwork.com right now. You'll see it listed there on the homepage. And also in the next day or two, then you can search on iTunes or any of your podcast catchers or players or whatever you use to listen. You'll find them there as well. But that'll be coming up. And then on our app, I'll let you know toward the end of the week whether it's on our app, and you'll have to do an update to get that. So we'll find out more about that later in the week. Cool. And let me see here. It looks like we have three of our players right now. We're missing one so far. So we're missing Andrea. Let me see here. That's Jean's here. So we are missing Anne. So if Anne's listening, she can give us a call. But in the meantime, do you want to play?
Yes,
all
let's
right.
do this.
Let's play some trivia. It's been a while.
Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
My love, there's so many ways I want to say I love you.
That's right. We're celebrating Valentine's Day today. And of course, Jamie, it's so funny that you said earlier in the day that you got into radio because you wanted to give away prizes. We do a lot of that on this show. So
I know. And I don't know of any other podcasts that give away prizes, number one, or as many prizes as we do.
Last year, we gave away $12,000 in prizes.
God.
There is no other podcast giving away $12,000 prizes, I guarantee you. So tell us what today's prize is for the winner of Valentine Trivia.
Today's prize is a $50 gift card from Kelly Heard Jewelry. Kelly Heard Jewelry offers fine equestrian jewelry, including beautiful necklaces, earrings, pendants, and bracelets. Each piece of Kelly Heard equestrian jewelry is finely crafted with every attention to detail and quality. So make your choice and know you're getting the best. Kelly Heard Jewelry is made of gold and sterling silver. You will find unique gold jewelry items set with fine gemstones, including diamonds. Do I need to do this in the Tom Shane voice?
Yeah,
sterling silver. And fine gemstones, including diamonds. I went and bought them myself, and I mined them from the ground in Tripoli or wherever. Sterling silver jewelry is set with cubic zirconia, making each of your choices affordable.
I like your regular voice better, actually.
Okay. Sterling silver jewelry is set with cubic zirconia, making each of your choices affordable. If you could have seen the face I was just making while I was reading that, you would have been like, oh my God, stop it. Right now, there's a Valentine's sale, so you can even double up. Enjoy 25% off all silver jewelry. And you can actually, this is for everybody.
Yep,
use the code KH25 off at KellyHeardJewelry.com. Dude, that's 25% off. That's crazy.
So if any of the guys are listening now, or the ladies, you can say exactly. You can send your husbands there. They can get. They have so much equestrian jewelry there. We stop by their booth every time at Ada and check it out. He's always got new stuff. I think he probably has the largest selection of really nice and, you know, affordable equestrian jewelry too. You can go from price points all the way up to less than $50 to thousands of dollars. So whatever you want or a need in your jewelry, you can find it. You can find it at Kelly Heard Jewelry. We thank them for their donation of the gift certificate. Well, why don't we meet our players real quick? We're going to start with Gene, because Gene is a new horse boyfriend. And I am shocked that Andrea has let him come on the show this morning. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Glenn.
I'm shocked that you're here, because how long have you guys been dating?
About 4 or 5 months.
Uh-huh. And they know better than to let any new boyfriend come on a show with me, because I can talk you right out of that, by the way.
Well, she's definitely warned me.
Did she give you warnings like, you don't listen to anything he says? He's not right. He's just a radio guy. Don't listen to anything he says. Was that what she's been telling you all weekend?
Nah, she just said, prepare myself.
Well, Gene,
we're glad you're here.
Yeah, we are glad you're here. Gene's also a hiker, right? Don't you section hiking or looking maybe doing the AT at some point?
I am. I've been section hiking the Appalachian Trail for since 2009.
And I hear you've been...
I started in Georgia, and I'm all the way up in Virginia now.
Oh, wow. Well, you're hiking the Appalachian Trail, just doing a piece at a time. And I heard you've been listening to my friend Mighty Blue on his podcast, Mighty Blue and the Appalachian Trail.
I have. I've been enjoying his podcast. He's doing a great service to the trail.
Well, good. Cool. What is your trail name?
Right now it's Trax.
Trax?
Yeah, I have a tattoo of some bear tracks going on the side of my neck.
Ah, Trax. Got it. Okay. Makes sense.
That just goes to prove, Glenn, that this guy is so much cooler than you.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, we're going to hang up on him now. He can't be on our show. We'll see how cool he is when he has to answer some of these questions we have planned for today.
Oh, you're just a little hater now. Now you're jealous.
All right, hold on, Gene. We'll get you back in. Let's introduce Shauna's here. Hi, Shauna. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Is it Shona or Shauna?
You had it right. Shona.
Shona.
Oh.
Jamie made fun of me the other day, and I was right. Please tell her that.
I don't remember which specific incident I made fun of you for, but I was probably right in it.
Where are you from, Shona?
Well, originally from Jersey, but I've been down in Virginia for the last 10 years.
Oh, very cool. And what kind of riding do you do?
I try to stick with eventing and getting all the three phases together, but usually it's a little bit of concentrated on dressage, and then we move to jumping, and then we try to survive cross country, and then sometimes we actually test it out in a day.
That sounds the life of an inventor, doesn't it? Well, that's terrific. And I know that you recently become an auditor, if I remember correctly. So thank you for that. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's introduce Anne is here. Good morning, Anne.
Morning.
So, Anne, where are you from?
I am from upstate New York. We are actually snowed in right now.
Oh, well, there. Yeah, nothing better to do than play Valentine trivia with us this morning. So that's terrific. And what kind of riding do you do?
I'm a dressage rider.
Okay, cool. So ask her all of the jumping questions, okay, Jamie? Mark that down. Anne gets jumping questions.
I can't keep track of all you guys. I'm just going to ask you what I do, what I can.
And we
do jumping, too, so.
We had a guest that was supposed to be in the studio with us this morning, but unfortunately our driveway is being repaired today, so she couldn't come over or wouldn't be able to get in our driveway, and that's Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I know Charlotte's from Ocala, right?
Well, as of this year, I am.
Where were you from originally?
Vermont.
Vermont. Okay. This is a little nicer.
Smart move.
Yeah, this time of year.
Smart move, yeah.
And Charlotte, you're still welcome to come over next week. I'm sorry about the change today.
Well, I have to meet the infamous Scooter.
Yes, you do. Everybody has to meet Scooter. It's required.
Well, I want to meet you guys, too, but...
Yeah, whatever.
That's what everybody says. Everybody comes here like, where's Scooter? Don't even say hi to us. It's like, where's Scooter? All right, Charlotte. And you're a para rider, right?
I am, yes.
So, obviously, dressage is the riding of choice?
It is now.
Okay, cool. Very good. And we're going to speak more with Charlotte next week when she stops over. But we have to play a game now. So this is how it's going to work. We are going to ask you, it's double elimination. We're going to ask you all a question in a row. Once you get two wrong, you're out. And then we'll keep asking.
He's going to drop you off the phone like
that's
a bad
right.
habit.
That's right. You're gone. Out of here. If you get the answer correct, I have the following sound file. That means you have the answer correct.
Oh, that's terrible.
That means you're right. When you're wrong, you get this one. So there you go. New sounds for today. And Jennifer is going to help us keep track of score here. And we'll start with Gene.
Now, Gene, Glenn, and I want all you guys to listen. Glenn made up questions. Jennifer made up questions. And then I made up questions. So I want you guys to choose. The first round, I'm going to let you choose who you want to play from. You want to play from Glenn, Jen, or me, my questions?
Gene, pick
what
mine.
Do you think?
Gene, pick Gene. Mine. Pick mine, Gene.
Well, I've been warned about your questions, Jamie, so I'm going to go with Glenn.
There, yes!
Okay. This one is... Glenn is... Okay, I'll go with this one. You're kind of... Some of your questions are kind of weird, Glenn. All right. What state? You have a 1 in 50 shot here. What state produces 60% of America's roses? 60% of the roses are produced in this state. I'll give you a hint. It's on the West Coast.
Since you said West Coast, I'll go with California.
Yay!
Ah!
Good answer. All right.
All right, Gene. Gene is staying alive. He's got one. Now we're going to move to Shona. Shona, you are next. Whose questions do you want to choose from? Glenn, Jennifer, or me?
Go ahead, Jamie. Give me one.
All right. There's here we go. My question. Horses are not, in fact, colorblind, as previously thought. They can see two colors the best, though. Multiple choice. Which colors do they see the best? A, yellow and green. B, red and blue, or C, purple and orange?
Oh, that's hard. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and go with the second one.
You're going with red and blue?
Yeah.
And I can't find your question, Jamie.
It is incorrect, Glenn.
Oh, it's incorrect.
Yellow and green.
I thought it would be easy because a dead giveaway is a horse sees a green patch of grass in the wintertime, and man, they beeline right for it, don't they?
Oh, no. That means Shona has one wrong.
One wrong. That's okay. She's still alive.
She's still alive. We have Anne up next.
All right, Anne, whose questions do you want to choose from?
I'm going to go with Jennifer.
All right, you guys are keeping it fair. Keeping it fair. Oh, let's see here. Since we're talking about love and it is Valentine's Day, would you answer, please, how many chambers does the equine heart have?
Four.
That's right. Four.
Four chambers.
My bio degree is paying off.
Ah, well, if you'd gotten that one wrong, it would have been really bad.
All right, Charlotte. Yeah. Charlotte, you are last to go here. Do you want Glenn, Jen, or Jamie?
Jamie, please.
All right. Let's see. Multiple choice. I'm really kind to you guys today.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to stick with the heart theme. The heart and love. And this is multiple choice. The average horse's heart weighs, by the way, no Googling, you guys. Come on. The average horse's heart weighs 4 to 5 pounds, 6 to 7 pounds, or C, 9 to 10 pounds.
Oh. C.
That is correct. The way
you wrote them out, I can't even read them.
Glenn, you really need to step up your buzzer skills. Come on.
I can't read her answers.
Oh, my. They're in parentheses right behind the questions, Glenn. Not that hard. All right. Fantastic.
All right. So well done. Right now we have three with none wrong and Shona with one wrong. It's her death round.
Now, I would like to go ahead and start by saying, let's go no further before I tell you that you are going to, if you don't win this, you are going to be pissed off and you're going to not like me. But I do want you to send your complaints to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That is where all complaints go. Jennifer, two N's, at horseradionetwork.com.
There you go.
All right. Let's go to, I like this theme where you guys get to pick who you want to go with. So, Gene, Glenn, Jen, or Jamie?
Jamie.
All right, we're going down to me. This one, I feel, is very appropriate for a new horse boyfriend to know. Horses produce approximately how much saliva a day in gallons? Is it 6, 8, or 10 gallons of spit is produced from your girlfriend's horse's mouth a day? 6, 8, or 10 gallons of spit. Go ahead. What do you think?
Wow.
He's so excited.
I'm gonna go with the most. Let's go and see.
What were you going with? I didn't hear the answer. I was too busy laughing.
Well, I'm going to go with C. Just because it seems like it would be the most.
That's right. It is 10 gallons of spit a day.
All right. Congratulations.
What we're determining is horses are pretty disgusting. That's what we're determining, Gene. They're just disgusting beasts. All right. Shona's up next. This is life or death there, Shona.
All right, Shona. Glenn, Jen, or Jamie?
Oh, I'm going to go with the crazy questions of Glenn.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be multiple choice. What percentage, this is surprising to me, what percentage of animal lovers give their pets Valentine's Day gifts? Is it A, 3%, 9%, or 15% of animal lovers give their pets gifts?
I have no idea, but I'm going to go for the shock value, 15%.
Oh, Shona.
I was shocked because I thought it was 15%, and it turns out the answer is 3%.
There's only a few.
3%.
And I did read that 90% of them are crazy cat people. So there you go.
I read that 95% of the other people that don't give their animals gifts are lying.
Do you give your animals Valentine's cards? Jamie?
It's not a carb blend, but a treat is something very special, and we may make horse cookies on Valentine's Day. I don't give my husband jack, but I get the horses cookies.
Thank you, Shona. We appreciate you playing.
Thank you, guys. All right,
Shona, I love you.
Bye.
Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Send your
cookies. Anne is up next.
All right, Anne, who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Jamie this time.
Go with Jamie. All right. We're going to run out of Jamie questions. I love it. Because I am from Arizona and you selected my question, I would like you to answer. In the state of Arizona, it is illegal for donkeys. This is on the books, a law. It is illegal for donkeys to sleep in a blank. In the state of Arizona, it is illegal for donkeys to sleep in a blank. Just take a guess.
Oh, God. I would say in a car.
Fantastic.
That's a good answer, though.
If you would have got that, I would have known you Googled it because that was impossible. In the state of Arizona, it is illegal for donkeys to sleep in bathtubs. I just thought that was a good fact. Everybody needed to know.
Does that mean that there was an epidemic of donkeys sleeping in bathtubs at one point?
If it is a rule, it has happened. And like, I could only think that like some dude came home and he's like, yeah, I gotta take a shower. He like opens the shower curtain and there's a freaking donkey in his bathtub. And that pissed him off enough to write his senator.
He was a legislator. Like, he was the governor. All right,
we
Anne.
We need to do something about this.
Hang on. You still got one more to go. You're only minus one, and Charlotte is up next.
All right, Glenn, Jen, or Jamie, where are you going to go?
Jen, please.
Jennifer's questions. Okay. And who am I talking to? Is this Charlotte?
This is Charlotte. Yep.
This is Charlotte.
All right. Charlotte, what is the most romantic horse movie ever?
The Princess Bride.
That was ridiculous, Jennifer. Jennifer put every answer is correct.
So you got the gimme. You got the freebie on that one.
I should read these ahead of time.
But it's obviously The Princess Bride. I mean,
I would have said you're absolutely incorrect. There is no movie more romantic than the one and two of The Man from Snowy River and The Return to Snowy River. There's
good call. Good call.
Charlotte, do you want to change your answer?
Well, it's a tie then.
All right. Either way, you're right. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Man from Snowy River and The Princess Bride are like two of my favorite movies.
There you go.
We can hang out and watch Netflix together. Okay. Who's
all right.
next?
All right. So this is it. We got Jean up next. Anne has her death round is this round. But so far, we're still Anne's hanging in there, round. Jean. Jean's doing well representing the men.
I should ask him the romantic horse movie.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have known one.
Couldn't even name one. All right.
I would have had tough time with that.
You just said what?
Black Beauty.
Oh, well, see, that would have worked for Jamie.
Yeah, that's romantic. Oh, my God. I cried through the whole freaking thing. Oh, okay. Gene, Glenn, Jen, or Jamie, where are we going?
Let's go with Glenn.
Smart man.
Okay. What percentage of people, this is a multiple choice, what percentage of people go out to dinner on Valentine's Day? Is it 30% go out to dinner, 50% go out to dinner, or 65% of people go out to dinner on Valentine's Day?
I'm going to say 65.
I thought that too.
I would have said that too, but man, that's a lot of people going out to dinner. So 30% of people go out to dinner on Valentine's Day. That's still a lot.
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing on Valentine's Day.
Are you going out to dinner?
No, I'm hanging out with a three-year-old because my husband's night flying.
He's taking all the people who are going out to dinner to their locations. That's what
play that. Doing. Play that buzzer again. That's that sound of the wrong answer. That's what my Valentine's Day is going to sound like. All right, moving on. Who's up next?
All right, we have Anne, who is on her last throes. She's grasping for air. Her head is popping up above the water.
You're going to run out of show. All right, who are you going to go with, Glenn, Jen, or Jamie?
I'll do Glenn this time.
All right, Glenn. Glenn, this is of course, something he would say in a question. What percentage of women send themselves Valentine's Day flowers? What percentage of women send themselves flowers? Is it 5%, 15%, or 22%?
I'm going to go with 22% because it's an odd number.
Oh,
it's actually 15%, which is really, you're either awesome or sad. I don't know. It depends on why you're sending yourself flowers.
And
if you're making a guy jealous, you're awesome. If you're trying to do it to make all the girls in the office jealous.
Now, I had some psychology involved in the answers to that. I put 22% because I said to myself, if I put something that's not an even number, they'll think that's the right one and pick it. And I think that's what happened, Ann.
See, don't pick his question. He's trying to screw you up.
Thank you, Ann, for playing. See ya. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Anna's out. We're down to two. Gene and Charlotte. Wouldn't it be ironic if the brand new horse boyfriend wins this thing? That'd be ironic and appropriate, too. Charlotte, you got to hang in there, Charlotte. All right. Charlotte's up next.
Yeah. All right. You guys get one more
Glenn
each.
Question. Glenn question. All right. Yeah.
Glenn question.
They're loving
Let's
my questions
see.
Today.
I know. This is weird. Okay. And this is a Glenn question, jenniferhorseradionetwork.com. In Shakespearean times, what bodily organ was associated with love? In Shakespearean times, what bodily organ was associated with love? Is it A, liver, B, kidneys, C, brain, or D, heart? I love you with all of my...
The liver.
Oh my God.
I love you with all of my liver.
I am shocked you got that right, Charlotte.
Well done. I don't have anything to say about that question because I don't understand it. Okay.
Well, there was a lot of drinking that went on, so.
Oh, good point, Charlotte. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
I love you with all of my liver,
because that's where all the alcohol resides.
All right. Who's up next?
That's Jack to Gene. Yeah, we're one-on-one now.
All right, Gene.
And this is his death throes. This is he's grasping for air, Gene. Hold on. Take a deep breath.
All right. I'm going with Jamie.
That was dumb.
All right. Here we go. Though the word hippopotamus means river horse, a hippo is most related to A, rhino, a B, pig, or C, a horse. Who is the hippopotamus most related to, a rhino, pig, or horse?
I get the feeling I studied up on sheep cleaning for no reason.
We might be able to oblige later, now that I know.
You want to change your question? We could come up with one real quick.
Let's see. Well, since we're on the Horses in the Morning radio show, I'm going to go with horses.
Oh, wrong answer.
I thought it was easy in the question. Though the word hippopotamus means river horse, the hippo is most related to the pig. The pig.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, that was the best invitation you've done in 6 years. I just wanted to say. Gene, thank you so much for Charlotte. Hold on. Gene, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being a good sport and doing this and representing the men. You did well.
You did. You hung on.
Oh, thank you, very
do you know what that means, though, Jean? It means you're going to have to go out and buy your own damn gift for her. So don't forget that today, okay? So go
and
get
clearly,
some.
Clearly, she wanted some Kelly Hurt jewelry. So yes. Go to that website.
Yeah, Kelly Hurt jewelry. Go there. And also, Jean, this is your first Valentine's, so be sure to make it good, okay? Make it good.
Oh, definitely.
No, let me give you some advice. Make it kind of lame so she doesn't expect much.
There you go. There's good advice from Jamie, who's going to be alone tomorrow. We'll see you, Jean. Thanks for playing.
I was right. Single till I was right, 32, 33.
All right. We can honestly say that Andrea has a good boyfriend. He's a keeper. You can keep him, Andrea. He's approved. And Charlotte, congratulations. You're going to be blinged up.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You should be. Now you can go to KellyHurdJewelry.com and you can pick out what nice thing you want to get for yourself or someone else. But why blow it on someone else when you can spend it on yourself, right?
No, you give that. Hey, you. I have $50 off of this website. Here you go. Ding, ding. See you later. Here's the link.
Well, I'll tell you, now that I'm a dressage rider, I need so much more sparkle in my life.
That's perfect. True. And dressage riders are sparkling it up now. They used to be kind of boring with no sparkles at all, but now you're like allowed to bling up a bit.
Oh, no. There is a lot of sparkle in the dressage world. Like in and out of the ring. There's a lot.
Well, congratulations, Charlotte. Hold
way
on.
More than I have in my life.
Hold on a second. Jennifer's going to talk to you and get your address and everything so we can get you the Kelly Hurd Jewelry gift card. And we thank them for sponsoring this segment on our Valentine's coverage. And we'll see you next week, okay, in the studio.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
hold on.
You.
Well, there
go
you go.
Soon.
That was fun.
Because they're giving the 25% off. Yes, I love doing game shows.
I know, it is fun. We used to do it every week, but it just got to be, I don't know why we quit. Got to be a lot of work for us.
I think we're running out of prizes.
Yeah, that was it, too. It was a lot of work to get. But then, if you think about it, that was back when we had, well, a long time ago, when we had less sponsors and things, too. So
maybe we institute like a once a month the trivia and just have one prize. Because remember, we had the wheel of trivia where you would spin the wheel and
that
there was
like hard.
A prize
I had to come
on
up with
everything.
Like 15 prizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good idea. Let's just do it once a month. Let's put it on the calendar and just do it. And we'll get a prize and play it this way. This seemed to work well. We had doing the four and rotating. That worked pretty well.
I love it. Glenn, according to Arabian folklore, what color horses are the fastest and bravest of all?
Gray.
No.
No?
It's chestnut, like baby Zara in suits. They're going to be amazing.
Did you
and
make
Nigel.
That up or is that actually a real thing?
According to Arabian folklore, chestnut horses are the fastest and bravest of all. Here's some cheers to all of us who have chestnut fillies. Woo!
Do you want to hear something else that I found surprising? We'll end with a Valentine's thought. My last question. About 1 billion Valentine's Day cards are to be exchanged each year. How many will be accompanied by a gift? In other words, how many of those billion will actually have a gift?
I don't know, because I had to sit down, and I don't know if this counts, but I had to yesterday design a box for a 3-year-old to get Valentine's at school. Take the shoebox, cut out the top. I'm sure that many mothers are going to Pinterest something a lot cooler, but I had the old shoebox, and I covered it in printer paper. So then we have that. I cut the top out. I wrote his name in marker on it and put some stickers on it. And then I had to take every individual Valentine and cut them all apart and separate all of them and then take, and they're minions because he picked them out, and they have little minion tattoos on them. And so then I had to like place the minion tattoos inside the Valentine, like little perforated edge. And it was like super, it took forever. 20 kids. 20
I can't
kids.
Imagine you
forever.
Doing any of that.
I know. Who am I? And I was like, Chad, freaking fill these up. Help me out here. So he's up there doing, I mean, to hilarious. He's like the dichotomy imagine. Of my day.
I hope you took a picture. You
oh
just answered one of the other questions is what group receives the most Valentine's cards? Wives, teachers, mothers, or girlfriends?
Oh, teachers, because I had to get teachers some too.
Yeah, they get like 100 every day. So, yes, teachers get the most Valentine's cards.
Well, I'm going to tell you what they're going to get. They're going to get a minion thing with a minion tattoo on it because I didn't buy anything special for them. And I was like, this is enough. Chad's like, why do we have homework? And at these three, are we paying? Isn't this like a daycare?
That's funny.
Like, I don't understand why this has already started and I'm doing. I was like, you're putting freaking minion tattoos in a Valentine's. It's not homework. He's like, it feels like homework.
Wait till he has to start doing math. I mean.
I was like, this is just the beginning. He's like, I know, but he's three. Like, you didn't make the freaking
He barely wears clothes. It's like.
So how many people get gifts? Because I didn't know if that
33%, a third. Where I thought that'd be higher. I really did. But then maybe I have more faith in humanity than I should.
I didn't get Chad anything.
See, it's the women that fall down on that one. It's not the men. I was thinking it would be the men, but it's the women that fall down on that one.
He told me not to get him anything.
Uh-huh.
I guess that means I should still go get something, huh? Like in our house, like a bottle of booze would be like really cool.
Yeah, but wouldn't he buy that for himself normally, Jamie?
Glenn, what am I supposed to get? You just tell me what I need to get, and I'll go get it.
Yeah, but see, you're supposed to know that. You're the wife. And let's reverse this. Let's reverse this. Let's reverse this. And he bought something for you that you would normally buy for yourself at the grocery store when you go every week. What would you say?
Wait, say that again?
So I'm just reversing this. You said you'd go get him a bottle of booze, which he could buy for himself at the grocery store when he went every week. What, and if he did that for you, what would you say?
A bottle of booze. he likes Jack Daniels.
Well, you know, I am going to leave it with one thing. There is one thing us guys are always happy with and never disappoints. And we're going to say goodbye, everybody. You don't have to go buy nothing. It never, well, maybe it disappoints sometimes, but it never disappoints, usually.
It just never disappoints.
Depends who it is, I guess. Tomorrow, we are back with the endurance episode. We'll be here tomorrow with the endurance episode. Jamie will be back on Wednesday. See you, everybody.
Bye, Neuter Guild. Happy Valentine's Day. You don't have a Valentine's, send yourself flowers. 33% of people do it.
Or my option.